how God leads us daily. How many of you know you're led by the Spirit of God? Let me see your hands. So in case you don't know, you're going to find out. I'm led by the Spirit of God. Again, it's a conversation every believer ought to recognize. It's not, I always say this, that oftentimes people are always interested in God's leading when it's time to get married. And because I've been a pastor for a few days, I started pastoring last week, right? So sometimes you get to see how serious people can be about the leading of the Spirit when it's time for a spouse. But it's not just for that. It's for every day. Because there are many things that would aim to lead you, but they're not the best. It's best to be led by the Spirit of God. I'm led by the Spirit of God. You know, I'm not led by fear. I'm not led by panic. I'm not led by pressure. I'm not led by stress. I'm not led in frustration. I'm led by God's Spirit. And He leads me. He directs my path. Hallelujah. All right, let's get started. Romans 8, verse 14. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are what? Are you there? They are the sons of God. So the children of God are led by the Spirit of God. The sons of God ought to be led. They are led and they ought to be led by the Spirit of God. Because there are many ways to be led. But there's only one way to be right. Look at verse 15. Verse 15 now says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we have received the spirit of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. So it tells you that one can also be led by fear. What will now happen if I don't do it? What will people say? Not just your own fears, but the fears of other people can be imported. And he said, this is what happened to my great grand aunt. And this is what happened to my uncle. And this is what happened to my dad. Am I sure that it's not the same thing happening to me? And because of that, people can make decisions that are not in the will of God. Because they are being led by fear. So fear can lead a man. So he starts in verse 14 and says, we are led by the Spirit. Then verse 15 says, we have not received the spirit of bondage to be led by fear. So I'm not led by fear. I thought you said that like a minute. I'm not led by fear. I'm led by the Spirit. Because the Holy Ghost, you see, the Holy Ghost is familiar to the child of God. He's not strange to you. You know, in John 10, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. That means His voice is not strange to you. Listen to me. If you are born again, God's voice is not strange to you. It can be drowned by many, many things. Fear, noise, panic. But it's not strange to you. When you hear Him, you will know it's Him. The voice of the stranger you not follow. I said you not follow the voice of the stranger. Amen. You can't be born again without the Spirit. You know, sometimes people think, Pastor, you know what? Yeah, I'm born again, but I'm waiting for the Spirit. By the time the Spirit descend on me, no. You have got the Spirit. There's nothing called being born again if you don't have the Holy Ghost. Look at that Romans 8, where we are. Verse 8. So they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Can we read verse 9 together, everybody? But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God... Can we read that now? Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, is what? So that means no one can say he belongs to Christ and he doesn't have His Spirit. In fact, what it means that you belong to God, you're born again, is that you have the Holy Ghost. Come on, is it making sense? So, there's nothing like, I got born again, but I'm waiting for God's Spirit. Mm-mm. If any man has not the Spirit of Christ, it's none of his. The Holy Ghost is that seal of salvation. He's the one that tells you, now you're born again. No man can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians 12, 3. So, the Holy Ghost is your salvation. He's the seal of the same. And He doesn't leave us. He doesn't leave. In John 14 to 16, He told His disciples, you know what? It is important that I go. The word expedient. It's important that I go. He said, I'll send you the comforter. and he will abide with you for 3 months. Eh? He will abide with you like for like 40 days. Eh? Till you understand how things go. No, he will abide with you forever. Forever. So we are forever led. We are forever accompanied. Amen. By the Spirit of God. We walk in the light. So we know him. Sometimes the reason why people go to a lot of prophets. I'm not saying the role of prophets are gone or extinct. No. But everything, you know, you want to get married, so you take 5 pictures of 5 guys. Chima, Larry, Femi, Aldo. Aldo because he works in oil and gas. And give me one more name. Benson. So you've heard something there. What name did you mention? Damn Larry. That's savage. So you say, Femi, there's something to say about Femi. You see? You're already being led by something else, by the news, by trends. Then you go, Pastor, help me pray about these names. And they are somewhere, they don't even know you're praying about them. Amen. Let me pray about these names. And then the pastor too goes, what does this one do? How does it matter? Just pray about it and come with an answer. You know, and you go that because you feel you can't hear him. You feel you can't make a decision, but no, you know him. Every believer, it's not for pastors. Every Christian can hear God clearly. It's an aberration if we think it's for pastors. It's for every man in Christ to know him, to hear him. And why does he appear difficult? Because the devil too can mask himself as an angel of light. He doesn't come in red suit with on. If that's it, then it's easier to recognize that it's devil talking, right? Come on. I've told you before, poison is best served with your best food. Nobody gives you poison and puts the container of the poison on the table. You're not going to eat it, are you? They serve you poison then. For example, I don't take garden eggs. I don't know how you want to tempt me to take it. I don't take it. I don't like it. For any reason. Imagine you want to poison me and then what you served is garden eggs. It has failed. Before, it's dead on arrival. Because I'm not even going to eat it. Is it making sense? So, if you want to poison me, you're going to have to find something else. I'm not going to mention it so that it doesn't make it easier. You're going to have to find something else that, on sight, I'll just say, bring that stuff now. Right? Because poison, it has to be served well. That's the same way. The devil doesn't show up in a red suit and with on. And then you say, hey, Lucifer. Bible says he masquerades himself as an angel of light. So look out for what looks like light but feels awkward. That's how to walk in the leading of the Spirit. It will look like the right thing. It will look like you're walking in the light. It will look like, this is not bad. But because you're born of the Spirit, something will feel weird about it. Something will feel awkward about it. That's the clue. I know his voice. And I hear it. He leads me every time. So there's a story I heard some years ago. It was a father sharing it about how God leads us. So Sister Hope, I've been using for example these days. You're a good example in Jesus' name. So let's say I'm a father. I'm not a father. I'm nobody's father. Let's say I'm a father. So we went to a camp. Father-daughter camp. So they gave them an activity. They're going to go into the woods. Okay, we don't do that in Nigeria. There's no woods. We're going to go into the woods. Forest. It's woods, that's the word. And so the activity was, the daughters were going to be blindfolded with a scarf, or with a scarf rather. And there are 3 instructions. The father is the one that will lead their daughters out of the woods. Is it making sense? And there are just 3 instructions that I have to tell my daughter. Number 1, I will never leave you. Number 2, you can ask me anything at any time. Number 3, don't listen to another person's voice. Number 1, number 2, number 3, don't listen to any other person. So they went into the woods. And It was getting easy because the father would just say, no, 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 come to your left. Now move forward. Let's go, let's go, let's go. Don't worry. Keep going. Stop, stop, stop. You're about to eat a tree. Because the daughter is on blind foot. Okay. Then the camp instructor said, the father, all the fathers must stop talking. So they kept mute. And the daughter was wondering, why is the dad not talking? But she has forgotten the second instruction. You can ask me anything. So that means you can ask me, am I on the right path? Should I move? Should I move to the left? So, but the father could not talk because the instruction is, mom. So after a while, she kept going, finding her way. She didn't ask. Then the camp instructor said, why not just follow me? Called her name and said, follow me. And she started following. That's the third instruction gone, right? And the camp instructor led her to the bank of a river. And she was almost walking into it. And she said, dad, are you there? And the man said, yeah, I'm there. So where am I? It's at the bank. You're about to swim. Unintentionally. He said, how did I get here? And the father said, you didn't ask me. Go have your seat. And it shows you how God also leads us. He will never leave us or forsake us. And we can ask him anything. And we must not follow the voice of the stranger. But you know what happens most time? We don't ask. And that's what Proverbs was saying in Proverbs 3:6. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will lead and direct your path. But what happens when we don't acknowledge him? He doesn't lead and direct our path. Say, I acknowledge him. Come on, say, I acknowledge him. So that's an example that must never leave you. So the next time you appear, you don't know where you're going. And you don't know what you're doing. Remember, you can ask him anything. You just have to say, dad, are you there? And he will answer. I know his voice. Go back to Romans 8. That's where we are. Verse 15. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. But you have received the spirit of adoption by which we cry, Abba, Father. Can we verse 16 together? Okay, I'll wait for you. Want to go? The spirit itself bears witness with that we are. So, how does God lead us? By our, we say we are internally led, not externally. So, in verse 15 tells you, your leading does not come from fear. Oh, pastor, I'm already 30 years old. I'm already 35 years old. When am I going to get married? No, you are being led by fear. Fear of the unknown. Fear of what people will say. Fear of what people think about you. What about if you don't think about what people think? How about if you're just led by God instead of being led by pressure? Amen. So it says we are not led by fear. We are led by the witness of God's spirit with our... So we said, can a man be led by his feelings? Many times. Butterflies in the belly. I've said it before. If you feel butterflies in your belly, it's a good thing, but you need to check up. Go for ultrasound. Check what is there. Butterflies are not meant to be in your belly. See, as I was just going out, I just felt goosebumps. Maybe it was cold. I felt I should not go again. But that only happens when you want to go to work or class as a student. It doesn't happen when you want to go and enjoy yourself. If you like, someone said, if I'm going out and my left leg eats the stone, I'm meant to go back home. But if they ask you to come and collect 1 billion naira and your left leg eats the stone, will you go back home? Huh? You will say, well, even if the right leg likes, even if my head hits the stone, I will go and collect this money. So feelings can lead, but they are not good leaders. Or it's not a good lead to follow your feelings every time. What other thing can lead a man? Logic. Intellect. Facts. Oh, pastor, the facts point to the fact that this is how people are going. This is what people are doing now. I should be doing it too. But God did not design the believer to be led by his senses. Even though common sense is good. I say common sense is good. Amen. If as a Christian, you should have common sense. You say God should meet your needs, but you don't have work. So, manna is going to fall from heaven every day. You say, I'm waiting for the wealth of the Gentiles. You are a thief. You're waiting for miracle money. Miracle money. 120 million naira will just appear in your account. And you take it. Say you know Paul.
and Silas. Eh? You will see what they saw. You go to jail. You do jail. You can't, money is a legal tender. You can't have money appear in your account without a source. And those of you that are trying to play IRS, everything is gift. You send 2 million, it's a gift. They will soon catch you. Because you don't want to pay your taxes. 5 million naira, it's for transport. Family support, 24 million naira. Family, how many members are in your family? It is well. But what we're saying is, God doesn't lead us by our senses and facts alone. He leads us by His Spirit. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Sometimes it's good that you have feelings about things. You know what is going on about things. But that's not enough. You've got to be led by your spirit, which is the Holy Ghost. I'm led by the Spirit of God. See, say it. I'm led by the Spirit of God. I'm not confused. I know what to do every time. I know how to do it. I know when to do it. I'm not confused. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I don't walk in the dark. Numbers are good. Amen. But I have the witness of the Holy Ghost. So that's why you have to practice patience. Because you'll be under pressure. That's practice patience. When you don't know what to do, be patient. What to do when you don't know what to do, be patient. Don't make a decision if you're not sure of what God is saying. So go back to Proverbs 3:5. So we have two scriptures, right? Romans 8 and Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3. Proverbs 3, are you there? Verse 5. We're going to read verse 5 and verse 6 together and let it make sense to you. Are you ready? Want to go? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He shall direct your path. Look at that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and not with your own understanding. So, He says you should be heart-led, not head-led. That sounds like a devotional title. Not head-led. Amen. I'm heart-led, not head-led. I don't rely on my intelligence. I don't overestimate my intellect. I am led by God's Spirit from my heart. You know, someone you can know about something and you are still wrong about it. You can have all the facts and the chatters about something and then you still end up in the wrong. Because facts doesn't mean you'll be right. God is the only one who knows all things. You don't know all things. The only thing you know about tomorrow is that it's a Monday. That's the only thing you know. And maybe you have an exam. You say, oh, I have an exam. But what if you get the examination all and they said it's been postponed? You don't know about that. So say, my work, they can never shit our work. Now we go to work, I know. Even if the nation is burning down, they will say we should show. I remember during the COVID, I was working in Luth and there was a time they were doing this, NSAS was 2020, yeah. So, there were roadblocks. I didn't have a car then. There were roadblocks and everything. So I called they blocked the road. I was hearing the news. I don't have to see the road, they blocked it. I said, they blocked the road. There's no way I can get to work. He said, when you come, we'll discuss it. How can I tell you they blocked the road? You are telling me when I arrive at work, we'll discuss how they blocked the road. How am I going to get to work? Someone said, there's flood. There was flood. There's flood. I can't enter the water. He said, when you come, we'll talk about it. So if you walk in somewhere, so places like that, I understand. But you can get to work tomorrow and they tell you, nah, everybody go back home. That would be nice, yeah? Huh? You are a lazy person. You say, yes, sir. Monday morning. Some of you to be energetic and say, what are my goals this week? I am heart-led, not head-led. I'm led by the Spirit of God from my spirit. I walk in the light as He is in the light. I don't walk in darkness. I don't walk in confusion. Look at verse 6. It says, in all your ways, acknowledge Him. That means this is our own responsibility, not God's. It is my responsibility to acknowledge Him. He's not going to do it for me. So we must be asking and checking. Asking and checking on the inside for him to lead us every time. He says, if I acknowledge him in all my ways, what will happen? He shall direct my path. That means he will tell me where to go. He will lead me on what to do. Last week, was it last week? The other one, we looked at Nicodemus, remember? Huh? Where Nicodemus came and he asked Jesus a question. And there was a conversation going on. You must be the rabbi. You must be from God. And Jesus said, that's not where the conversation is going. I'm going to tell you where the conversation is going. You must be born again. Jesus' answer and Nicodemus' discussion were not telling. But you see, Jesus was not led by people's questions. He wasn't led by people, and we're going to see that today. He wasn't led by people's curiosity. He was led by the Spirit. You know, as a pastor, you can be led by people's curiosity. Oh, people want to know about this now, so I'm going to preach about this. No, I'm led by the Spirit. I'm not led by curiosity. I'm not led by people's pressure. Was that not the downfall of Saul, the king of Israel? He said, the people said we should sacrifice. And God said, who anointed you king over Israel? It's not Israel. It's me. Amen. So children of God are not led by needs. They are not led by opportunities. Listen very well. Opportunities are good, but the children of God are not led by opportunities. If you follow every opportunity, you will end up in danger. I wrote something on my status. Was it yesterday? I can't remember when. I just put it on my status and I said, it's not every meat you eat. So for those who don't understand the first line, it's not every meat you eat. Not all open doors are blessings. I've said this for years, that when you see an open door, peep and check who opened it. Because prisons have doors too. Amen. Or prisons don't have doors. How do people get to the prison? Open door. Beyond the open door. And it's prison. So when you say, God, give me an open door. Give me an open door. Please specify. Is it to a dungeon? Because prisons have doors. There's an adage. An African adage that says, when you get to the forest and you see a very ripe fruit unplucked, don't be too quick to think you have made it. You see a ripe fruit just hanging there in the forest. So the writer said, it's Revelation Inca. He said, the birds woke up earlier than you. The hornbill, the woodpeckers, and they left it alone. Said the beasts in the forest, they left the fruit alone. But you man, you think you have arrived. Leave it alone. Amen. That means not every golden opportunity is truly golden. You can't afford to be led by every good thing, seeming good thing. Not all that glitters is gold. I know we are in the era of Gen Z. I'm Gen Z too, right? Because I'm 16 years old. And Gen Z will tell you, bring everything. When I get home, I will tell you, I will separate the one that is good from the one that is not good. The Genesis has spoiled a lot of proverbs. And as expected, because someone told me, said, patient dog is fat. What's the assurance that the bone will be fat? That he doesn't even like bone. That what was the patient dog waiting for when everybody was eating meat? He was serious. We are laughing. He was serious. I said, what was everybody waiting? Everybody was eating meat. The idiot dog was waiting for bone. I was just looking at him like this. A lot of proverbs. There's one that someone put on the status. I don't know. He said, what an elderly man sees while sitting down. Even if the child climbs the iroko tree, he will not see it. He now brought the elderly man to the iroko tree. The elderly man, I said, oh, more. The elderly man, you see what I'm seeing now? Is there one more? Not all that glitters is gold. That Midas touch, you know the story of the Midas touch, right? The king who wanted everything. So a genie asked that, what is your wish? And the king said, I want that everything I touch should turn to gold. Which was nice, because that means you're going to be the wealthiest man. Everything I touch. So he started touching spoon, gold, cup, gold. key, gold. And, you know, he had affluence, influence everywhere. He had the money. The one day he touched his daughter, and she turned to gold. Touched the wife, gold. Everything in the palace, gold. Had no servants, had no wife, had no family. Then he began to beg. I don't want everything I touch, don't touch to turn to gold anymore. And the phrase came, if you get what you want, will you want what you get? Some of your greatest desires can bring your downfall. The believer is not to be led by opportunities. Be led by the Spirit. See, some of the things you think, this is nonsense. I can't go with this. I can't take this work. I can't take this job. That's where the gold is. But you don't know because you're short-sighted. I am short-sighted. Except what God decides to show us. We can't know. We can't know more than tomorrow. We can't know more than the fact and chatters. We can't know more than the news. Except it's revealed by God. Why not trust that God? He said, trust in the Lord with your heart, not with your head. Then you have missed out on the best of spouses because they are looking with their head. Say, ah, how will I marry this man? See how he's short. Sorry, yo. Agbani Darego. Say, he's not even fine. Are you fine? He said, yes. Okay, we agree. That should be enough for both of you. He says, you are fine. That should be enough. What do you think? Drive Mercedes-Benz, AMG. Does your father have AMG? He said, yes. They let him give him. Amen. This life is not hard. If your father does not have, then you have no right to be asking. Why not both of you work together to buy that AMG? Is that not goals? Huh? What do they call it? A couple goals. Huh? It's a good goal. We are going to come together and we are going to buy whatever. But your dad does not have. And you're asking another young man that just wants to start life. That went to use cooperative money to say he wants to get married. You're asking for the unaskables. Because you are being led by your friends. So people have missed out on spouses. Good ones. Because what will my friends say? If your first thinking about someone is to think about what your friends are going to say, you're already going the wrong route. Are you getting married or you are getting married for your friends? You say, man, my friends will say his lips is big. Itemba. Lipopotamus. Lipids. Lip of faith. See, I'm wrong with my friends. See, do not. I have no words. Amen. You're not getting married for your friends. Why not be led by God's Spirit? Why not tell you what to do? Amen. Come on, amen. So, children of God are not led by needs. I told you last week, needs can be a trap too. How does the fish end up on the hook? Needs. There's food on the hook. It's a bait. But does it look like a bait? Because people are going to tell you, you missed out on an opportunity, a golden opportunity, once in life. Another opportunity knocks, but once. You create another door. Amen. And let the opportunity knock again. That phrase itself needs to be looked at. Because opportunities don't knock once. I tell you that for free. Life is not unidirectional like that. Opportunities knock multiple times in different ways. So when you're opportunity knocks once, this is my opportunity. My golden chance. If I don't take this one, I can never make it again. I'm not saying don't take it. I'm not saying take it. I'm saying listen to God. Are you listening to me? Children of God are not led by needs. They are not led by opportunities. We are internally directed. By faith, I can be led by the Spirit of God. And because I live in Him, I walk like Him. Amen. Amen. Come on, amen. John 8. So, we looked at Martha last week. But this week, we are going to look at someone else. So, Nicodemus, the other one, Martha. Then, because we're going to be looking at the experiences of Jesus in the leading of the Spirit. That's basically what we've been doing. The experiences of Jesus, His encounters, and how that leads us into knowing how God leads. So we saw Nicodemus already. We saw Martha, right? One thing is needful. Is that not what Jesus told Martha? He said, you are troubled about many things. One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen it. Go listen to that. John 8. Jesus went onto the Mount of Olives. And early in the morning, he came again into the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. So, the way Jesus used to teach was that he would sit down. Maybe I'm in the wrong gear. I should start sitting down. That'd be cool. I'll sit down, you stand up. Would that be nice for once? Deal? Next week Sunday? Or we should act on the word now? Alright. So he sat down and he taught them. Verse 3. And the scribes and the Pharisees, they brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, taken in adultery in the very act. I want to think that's very disruptive of the service. Let's start with that. Imagine as we are doing service now and someone just drags a woman in. I say, master. I was saying, we'll be your master. That's very destructive of the service. They were very rude guys. Rude boy. And they brought the woman and said, this woman was caught in the act of adultery, in the very act. Now, there's something I know. It takes two to commit adultery. She can't sit there alone and commit adultery all by herself. That'll be supernatural. Amen. Except she's, what do you call it? Non-binary. Yeah? There are a lot of people in this world now. They're non-binary. Say, I am them. But you just said I. I am them. Why do you say them are them? Say, I'm not one person. Someone actually told me that before. One of the students, medical students. So I was doing my house job then. And, yeah. So I said, you come over here. Can you help me with? I'm just obeying you. I'm not meant to answer you. Say, because I'm non-binary. To be factual, that was the first time I was hearing that phrase or that word. So I said, oh, I know binary. What does non-binary mean? He said, I am not one person. Ah. I said, you are twins. You are twins. Fratana or? He said, no. That, them. Like, that my pronouns are them. Like Chiderad or Demilade or like them. This, I'm not one person. And the first thing that came to my head was the madman of Gadara that said, we are legions, for we are many. Amen. So that was the first thing. I first shifted back. Legion. So I had to go and find out. And I discovered that people have a lot of, and you see male trying to go into female toilets. You say, because you are now transgender only. You are a pervert. That's what you are. I know you. I know what you are. I see what you are. So they brought the woman. And he said, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. I'm convinced. Not sure, but I'm convinced the man that was committing adultery with her is one of them. Because that was a setup. They wanted Jesus to say something. They wanted him to say something. So let's go on. Verse 4. So they said unto us that this woman has committed adultery in red-handed. Or blue-handed, or yellow-handed, anyone. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. Such should be stoned. What do you say? Interesting conversation. This is what the word of God says. This is what the law says. This is what the Torah says. She should be stoned. Even though we've explained that before. The Bible never asks that people should be stoned. Amen. We've taught that before, quite a number of times. Even when Moses said, suffer not the witch to live. And we have explained that in the light of the scriptures, or in light of what is truly biblical. So you can go listen to that before you start stoning people and doing jungle justice. Moses commands that such should be stoned. What do you say? Verse 6. This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. Interesting. So, it was a temptation. This is how the devil works. What do you say? Why should Jesus say anything? It looks like they are putting him under pressure. Moses said he should be stoned. Moses said we should kill her. What do you say? They try to manipulate him through pressure. But we can't be led by pressure. Amen. We can't be led by inquiring minds. We want to know what you have to say about it. You can't be led by that. You can't respond to every question in life. Let me say it again. You can't respond to every inquiry. There are things that you just not respond to. You know where pressure comes in life? When you think you have answer to every question, just keep quiet. Just say, I'd rather not say anything now. Why should I answer? Amen. Some years ago, someone came to me and said, show me that heaven is real. I said, why? He was shocked. Now, what you expect is, let's start an exegesis, which I would have done easily. Let's go back and forth. Let's look at the scriptures. Let's show me in the Bible. I said, you haven't made this in the Bible. Is it easiest thing to do? I said, why should I show you? Do you believe that heaven is real? He said, yes. So what are we doing here? If you believe, and I believe, and I'm the one that will show you. Bro, I don't have to show you. If I say, do you believe that heaven is real? I say, no. So why should I now show you again? You already don't believe that it's real. So they try putting Jesus under pressure. He said, Moses said, kill her. What do you say? If Jesus said, kill her, stone her, they'll say, it can't be God. He's not compassionate like Yahweh. Yahweh fed us 40 years in the wilderness. He took us away from the bondage of Egypt. This one cannot be God. He is too evil. If Jesus said, don't stone her, it can't be from God. He's promoting adultery. You can't be right. Amen. Have you heard that song before? The man and the man, his son, and the donkey. Huh? How do you know the story? Only one person can mount the donkey. Right? So because of the weight. So the man and the son mounted the donkey. And people say, do you want to kill the donkey? You want to kill the donkey? Two of you on one innocent animal. So the man got down and said, you know what? My son is young. He should not be under too much pressure. Let him mount the donkey while I walk. Then someone saw him and said, very rude boy. You have no shame. So the son got down and the father mounted the donkey. And that person saw them and said, evil father, you have no compassion for your son. Your son is walking. You are on the donkey. Then the both of them decided to step down. Let all of us quickly be walking. Then someone said, foolish people, you have a donkey. You have a donkey and you're not riding on it. So again, there are questions that get you nowhere. And you must listen to God's voice not to be under pressure. So they asked Jesus, Moses said, stoner, what do you say? Verse 7. Verse 6. This they said, tempting him. Please look at the Bibles. That they might have to ask him. So regardless of whatever he's going to say that day, bro, Jesus stooped down with his finger and he wrote on the ground as though he heard them not, like they were not there. Someone said, cool as cucumber. Eh? Like they were not there. I love the Lord. That's some class. That's some coolness. Like they were not there. And of course, this fulfills the scriptures a bit in Jeremiah 17:13, but that's not for today. Let me read it. Jeremiah 17. I'll just read fast. So put your hand in John 8. We are still coming back there. Are you learning something? Jeremiah 17 verse 13. O Lord, hope of Israel, all that forsake you shall be ashamed. Ashamed, that's the word. They that depart from me shall be written in the sand or in the earth or in the soil because they are forsaking the Lord, the fountain of living water. So, Jeremiah says, those that forsake the Lord, their fate will be like a writing in the sand. They shall be ashamed. They shall wash away. And we saw that the end result of those people that came in John 8 was what? Shame. Go back John 8. So it's actually fulfilling scriptures, but we'll look at that much more some other time. Go back John 8. So, Jesus wrote on the soil, on the sand, full under pressure because he was not under pressure. You cannot afford to always be under pressure to make a decision now. To make a choice now. That way you have given the devil a breathing room. I am not under pressure. I said again, I am not under pressure. I obey the Lord, and when there is no leading, I'm patient. Patient for his voice, patient to hear him again. I'm not under any pressure. I don't have to do it now, amen? I don't have to do it now. I don't have to respond now. And so Jesus began to write in the sand. And I wonder, they must have been asking him, what do you say? What do you say now? Are you not the rabbi? Are you not the one that said you are from God? What do you say? Moses said, stoner, and we already have stones. What do you say? Don't let the devil create for you an artificial emergency. It looks like an emergency, but it's not an emergency. Why did he have to answer the question? Don't forget, regardless of whatever he had said, they will accuse him. Because that was the entire point of bringing the woman. It's an artificial emergency. I remember my previous advisor some years ago. Some days ago. Some hours ago. One of my fellow supervisees. So he came to drop his, chapter 2 or chapter 1. So the man said, I'm going to write to the department to take you away. He said, sir, please. The man said, I have been lecturing since 93. I have met on serious students. You surpass them all. So the boy was ready. Boy, no, he's in the UK now. Doing his PhD. You see life? He said, you surpass them all. You are so unserious. Man, the boy now said, or the young man now, said, sir, it's because of something that happened at home. Man, I said, you cannot make your lack of preparation my emergency. And it stuck with me. The fact that you are not prepared, you can't make it my own emergency. I'm not obliged to treat this as an emergency because you lacked preparation. This woman was caught in the act of adultery. Moses is a stoner. What do you say? Some Christians have said, pardon, let me speak in tongues. Let me speak in tongues more. You know, there's a way people speak in tongues. Just, whatever is making you feel cold, I don't know. But it's fine. Can we set up a church committee? Jesus said, I don't have to respond. He's not dodging the situation. He's showing you that not every emergency is an emergency. Not every do it now is meant to be done now. There are times you just wait for what God is saying. What if God doesn't want you to even take those two? And you're already under pressure. They say we must submit it by tomorrow morning. I must respond. If God doesn't tell me to respond, take your work. Take your job. I didn't have it yesterday. You brought it today. And you say I must respond tomorrow. I didn't have it yesterday. This morning I didn't have it. You just brought it. I am going to be patient. We are not led by needs. If it was by needs, Daniel had every right to eat the king's food. I mean, you're already a slave in a strange land. They brought you to the palace, eat the king's food, be trained in the king's way. And Daniel said, no, I will not defile myself with the king's food. That is a man not being led by an opportunity. If you are led by opportunity, very soon you meet yourself in a trap, but not you. Amen. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Jesus did not give them a political response. Cool under pressure. You are cool under pressure. You are never under pressure. Amen. Okay. It doesn't have to happen now. You don't have to respond now. You don't have to make the decision now. Be led by peace, not pressure. We'll start close now. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of cool. I said the Spirit of God is the Spirit of, say cool. Am I not talking, am I in the wrong church? And the Spirit of God is the Spirit of cool. What should we do? What should we do? He wrote in the sand as though they were not there. Let me do Bible DJ song. You know Bible DJ? Let me combine things. When did the Spirit of God come and fellowship with Adam? Say it now. You have your answer. That is not the Bible exegesis, so please. I say, Pastor Egbuno, that's nonsense, I just said. That's a cool of the day. So the Spirit of God is the Spirit of cool. Not you in Jesus' name. So everything is this world is trying to get you under pressure, unrest, but you're not panicking. You're waiting for God's voice. Because you recognize it. And you can say, Daddy, are you there? Right? Huh? Daddy, are you there? What next? You can trust God for what next? When I don't know what to do, when I don't know where to go. God, what next? I don't have to make the conventional decisions. As much as I've got the facts, I've got the charters, I've got my common sense, I've got my feelings about this, but I know feelings can be good, facts can be better, but the Spirit of God is the best. I'm led by the Spirit. I walk in the best every time. He said the best of what he has is mine. Right? Is that not the song? I walk in the best every time. Come on, I say I walk in the best every time. So look at verse 7. So they continued asking him. They continued asking him. He lifted up himself and said to them, the answer is not stoner. And the answer is not stoner. What if you say A or B? And just said, no, I'm going to choose Holy Ghost C. Amen. I'm going to go for Holy Ghost C. It's not in the options, but that's what the Spirit of God is saying. He said, let he that is without sin among you, let him cast the first stone. And he stooped down again, and he wrote on the ground to fulfill that their shame is near. And when they heard it, they were convicted by their own conscience, and they went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in their midst. Amen. Jesus was not pressured by their question. He answered his own answer. What did he do? He turned the pressure. What should we do? That's what they asked him. Then he said, he that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. I want to see you under pressure. You can turn the tables. Amen. Some years ago, I was thinking about it because it's not from God. It started raising some questions in my head about the future, about if ministry is actually it. Because I'm a very ambitious person. And I'm still ambitious. You should be ambitious. Amen. I can be very ambitious. And I like money. I don't like luck. I don't like to beg people for money. Or do you? Huh? I've never come here, and I will not come here to beg for money in the name of Jesus. Yeah. I've never said raise money for me. I've never said the Holy Ghost is telling me five people that can give me $5,000. I don't do it because I like to work for my own money. Amen. I'd rather even have more than you so I can give you. Hallelujah. And while I was thinking it, I don't think I was even thinking about it. It just popped up in my head about the future, ministry, everything. Are you sure? I said, this is not from God. Because I know God's voice about my ministry. So I said, what do I say? Because I have to go, I've got to have a response. You can't allow you can't allow Goliath to have the last say, right? Every time Goliath tells you he's going to cut off your head, you say the same. If Goliath says, you have come to me like a small boy with sticks, you tell him, I've come to you in the name of the Lord of Israel. If Goliath says, I am going to ensure that you perish, he said, you know what? Goliath, hear me. Your head will not follow you home. The giant cannot have the last say. You say to the mountain. If the mountain responds, you say it again. Are you listening to me? So, as the thought came, I started praying. And God said, now you ask the question. Turn the pressure. So I said, hear me, devil. You say, what am I going to do? You, devil, what are you going to do? Because I know your future. Have you read the book of Revelations? I know your future. Dragged in chains. Things like that. Do you remember? And the thoughts kept coming. It was building pressure. That's many years ago. We before we started church. I said, you know what? What's the worst thing that can happen to me? I won't be able to pay my bill. Yeah, what's the worst that happens to a human being? He will get sick and die. I'm saved. I've won. Regardless of what happened in this realm, I'm a winner. Bro, you don't understand. All the worst thing you want to and death. I've still won. It's still gain. I'll be with the Lord. Now you, what happens to you? And you know, that sorted the entire conundrum in my head. There was just this atmosphere of victory. Are you listening to me? Devil, what am I going to do about my future? What are you going to do? Do you know where you're going to? Me, I've won. You know, it's like when Chelsea fans are biting and talking in August. In March, they are supporting another club. Can I have an amen? I hope I'm not going early because today is a serious day. always tell Chelsea fans, I say, I will just wait. All this talk, we are going to win the title this year. This team is not good. I'll wait. It doesn't take long. When December hits, it hits. When the rain falls, it pours. Amen. Turn the pressure. I'm a winner. I'm a winner. You see, the leading of God's Spirit is for this realm. Outside this body, I am in Him with perfect knowledge. Are you listening to me? Come on, are you listening to me? I'm on the Lord's side. Play for me as I close. I'm on the Lord's side. I don't lose. Is it that I win or I win? He leads me. I follow. I'm hungry. I'm hungry to hear His voice again. Daily I am led by His Spirit. Daily I am led by His Spirit. I know what to do. I know how to do it. I know when to do it. I'm not confused. I'm not confused. I'm not confused. I take the right decisions at the right time, in the right way. The Spirit of God engulfs me. It tells me everything. I know His voice. The voice of the stranger I don't follow. 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 I walk in it. It tells me where to go. It tells me how to turn. It tells me what to do. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I don't walk in darkness. I don't walk in darkness. I don't walk in darkness. I have absolute direction and clarity about all that I do. My life is not filled with mistakes. I don't look back and say, I don't look back with regrets. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I don't say, oh, only if I had done this in my 20s. Only if I had done this in my 30s. No. I hear His voice. And I follow through. When I'm not sure, I'm patient. Amen. I don't create artificial emergencies. I'm not led by the fear of men. I'm not led by what people will say. I'm led by the word of God. I'm not led by what I see. I'm not led by what I hear in the news. I'm not led by ads. I'm not led by trends. So what's trending now? Is that? I'm not led by trends. I'm led by the Spirit. Trends will go. Amen. Trends go. The Spirit remains. The work of the Spirit remains. I am led by the Spirit of God. I have absolute direction. I acknowledge Him in all my ways. And He will lead and direct my path. My ears are not full of mistakes. They are full of the glory of God. They are full of the leading of God. They are full of the accomplishments that I'm going to do by the Spirit of God. Yes, I walk by His word and I walk by His Spirit. The Spirit bears witness with my spirit. And I hear the witness and I walk in the witness. And I'm blessed like a tree planted by the rivers of waters. My leaves are evergreen. My leaves are evergreen. My leaves are evergreen. I'm always in season. I'm always in season. I'm always in season. I'm always in season. In the name of the Lord Jesus. I don't sit in the seat of the scornful. I don't stand in the ways of sinners. I follow the Lord. I know His voice. And that makes me extraordinary. Can we pray together this morning? Just bow your heads and pray.